This is Ozarks at Large. Late last month, Jared Burke spoke on the University of Arkansas campus as part of the Stigler Lectureship Series in Archaeology. He's the Director of Archaeological Geophysics at Ohio Valley Archaeology Incorporated. That's a private archaeology firm in Columbus, Ohio. That firm is often hired to conduct archaeological surveys on land where highways, developments, or subdivisions might be built. He's also incredibly interested in the Hopewell Native American sites in Ohio. For both his professional and personal archaeology interests, he uses instruments called magnometers. The photograph that accompanied the release about his talk on campus shows Jared Burke's carrying, almost wearing, such a device. The machine allows archaeologists to survey what's underneath the surface without having to dig first.
So I started off with magnetometers, and we had this unit that was just one magnetometer, and magnetometers have this type have two sensors in them, so it's just one set of sensors, and it's a thing you carry by your side, kind of like carrying a briefcase. It's about that big, and you just walk around back and forth in straight lines, and it's obviously a lot faster to do archaeology when you can look into the ground ahead of time and then know where to dig once you find things. So it was a great leap forward to have that kind of technology. And in Ohio, where I live and work, and I study a group called the Hopewell, and they built these enormous earthwork sites, so ditches and embankments built of earth, and they can cover 100 acres. So even with this speedy magnetometer, it would take a lifetime to survey. And I do this a lot on the weekends, so take a million weekends to do one of these. So I was always looking for the next best thing, and that is rigging a few of them together to do three lines at once. And that thing I was wearing has three sets of sensors on it, so you can go theoretically three times as fast.
The magnetometer, obviously, you said it makes it faster because you don't have to dig on speculation. You mm-hmm. have a pretty good idea. It also becomes less invasive.
Oh, sure. Right, because mm-hmm. the magnetometer doesn't affect the ground at all. It's, in fact, it's the one totally passive technique. It's only measuring what's already there. It doesn't emit anything. And you can do it over and over and over again and not affect what's underground. So that's one of the main selling points of these kinds of surveys, geophysical surveys, is that they're totally non-destructive.
You mentioned its color. So it doesn't give you what lay people might imagine as this X-ray of underground.
Well, it is an X-ray. So X-rays use X-rays to mm-hmm. make X-rays. And magnetometers use magnetism to make quote-unquote X-rays. It's just the kind of data that they gather are based on magnetism. So it's a different kind of image, but it's the same kind of principle. You're remotely sensing something that you're not touching, and you're using a physical property of that material to sense it. And so we use magnetometers as one. There are lots of other instruments one can use, like radar or electrical resistance or the conductivity of the soil. Magnetometers are one of probably the more well-known ones, along with radar.
It sounds like if you're trying to find that missing grave or that centuries-old settlement, that sounds like exciting work, but is there monotony involved getting there?
Isn't there monotony in every job?
Just about, yeah. Yes.
Yes, it's really, really exciting work because I wouldn't say that I get excited about treasure, so to speak, but, you know, who doesn't get excited about finding lost things that are hard to find? So every day when I hook the instrument up to the computer and download the data, look at the image, it's like I'm going to find something potentially new that nobody has seen before. So it's very exciting in that regard. But to get to that step, you spend 8 hours doing the same exact thing over and over and over, walking back and forth, carrying this machine. And you know, probably by about the fourth or fifth hour, you think, wow, I got a PhD to be a mule to carry this machine. That's kind of boring. But the payoff is just huge. And actually, to be able to do it right, you have to have a big investment of time and interest. So it's not like anybody can do it. And while maybe a PhD is too much to do it, it does take a bit of effort to collect the data.
How far down can a good magnetometer see?
Well, that's a good question, and the first answer is they don't actually look down. It's what's below ground comes up. So remember, the magnetometer is passive. Mm-hmm. It only measures what's right around the sensors. So you carry the sensors at about knee height, And so they don't look down. They look for influences on the magnetic field right around them. So something to be detected, something would have to cause a change at about knee height. And things, believe it or not, the more magnetic something is, I guess this makes sense, the farther away it can be detected. So I try not to survey next to cars, very magnetic. Mm-hmm. And these buried things that I'm usually looking for at Hopewell sites, like cooking pits, things we call earth ovens or fire hearths, they can be down 3 or 4 feet, and we can detect those.
And they're more magnetic because
With those three examples I just gave, they're all some kind of fire-related feature, mm-hmm. and when you burn soil that has iron in it, it makes it more magnetic.
Even 1,000
years later. Yeah, and it maintains that magnetism. It doesn't go away. So especially if the fire gets hot enough, these things are permanently magnetized. So you could take them out of the Earth's magnetic field into outer space somewhere, and they'd still be magnetic. There's also soil, in particular topsoil, that will react to a magnetic field. So if you put a strong magnetic field next to it, it'll change magnetically because that magnetic field is there. And we've got the Earth's magnetic field. It's always turned on. So there are these soils that just react to the Earth's magnetic field. And we can – the magnetometers actually can't tell the difference, the ones that I use, between these things that are susceptible to magnetic fields and then those things that are permanently magnetized. And fortunately, when people live on a spot for a long enough time, they enhance the magnetism of the ground so that the ground there where they lived reacts to a magnetic field more so than just a place where people didn't live. Hmm. So all of these settlements are just more magnetic because people were there.
Because of activity.
Yeah, just because people live there for a weekend, or usually it takes longer than that. Yeah. But, and what enhances the magnetism is throwing away your cooking refuse and all that from day to day. So you're boosting the kinds of organic compounds in the ground that certain kinds of bacteria like to chew on, and there are some kinds of bacteria that kick out magnetic particles as a part of their life cycle. So that enhances the magnetism a wee bit. And then there are different chemical reactions in the soil that affect the iron particles in there that seem to be sped up by the kinds of things that people leave in the ground. And then, of course, people love fire. It's what made the world go around back in the day. And all of those campfires and fire hearths, you know, keeping people warm and cooking their food, that enhances the ground too. So all of that adds up to easy to detect, usually, with the magnetometer.
So many of us just walk around blissfully ignorant or at least naive about what we're walking through. We don't think about magnetism or whatever is passing through us or around us.
Yeah. What's bizarre is when you do this geophysical stuff long enough, and I started with the magnetometer, so I started to think, I'm an archaeologist, and we don't normally get taught the physics of magnetism, and maybe I know enough to hurt myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly don't know much, but I know enough to know that there are these magnetic fields all around us, and when you think about it long enough, you begin to see these invisible magnetic fields as you walk down the street. Like I'm walking by a car and, oh, there's its magnetic field. And I know from surveying next to them that it goes out quite a ways from the car, 30 feet. You might still be able to detect that car with a magnetometer.
You work for a private firm and you mentioned clients. So you're hired by people who need these areas surveyed before they can...
Yeah, that's one of my major clientele is I work for this private company, and we help clients kind of clear the way to do whatever development they want to do. And there are certain laws in place in our state. There are federal laws. There are no state laws really to protect much of this prehistoric and historic stuff that's in the ground. But these federal laws, if you need a permit, say because there's a wetland on your property you want to put up a cell tower, you need a permit from the government to do that. So anytime there's a federal permit involved or federal money involved, you need to assess the cultural resources and natural that are there. And so we're helping people who build roads and people who build subdivisions and coal companies and all manner of folk who build things. We're helping them kind of clear the way, unfortunately destroy, what's there so they can do their thing. And as a result, we get to save all this information. Which is nice.
It puts some pressure on you, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because this might be the last sweep.
This is the last sweep. And the pressure is there also because your clients really don't want you to find anything.
Exactly. What might excite you and our other archaeologists might represent a six-month delay for them.
Yeah, and a lot of money. So they really don't want you to find anything. But, you know, our job should be we're just there to document what's there. It's not our fault that it's there. And I mean, you picked the site, really. But it's obviously we never want to underrepresent what's actually there. But if you're too good at your job, your client could go elsewhere and find people who aren't quite so good at finding stuff. So that's actually one of the problems that I've run into with this geophysical survey is that that thing, that magnetometer, is really good at finding stuff that before was really hard to find. So now we can find it very easily. And some people, you know, take the thought line that, oh, wait a minute, maybe we don't want to do that because we know if we do traditional archaeology, they won't find it.
Or much less likely to.
Yeah, they're much less likely to. But we try to say, hey, we're going to find all this stuff in a very efficient way. We'll go in and evaluate it, and then you're done, and you can move on, and you won't have any or as many surprises later on because nobody really wants to uncover burials or things like that when they're in the middle of their road project. Whether there are laws or not, usually the public doesn't think too kindly about, you know, desecrating graves.
Right.
And things like that and during projects. So it's good to know where that stuff is and avoid it during your project, construction project.
Jared Burks is the Director of Archaeological Geophysics at Ohio Valley Archaeology Incorporated, a private archaeology firm in Columbus, Ohio. Late last month, he delivered a talk on the University of Arkansas campus as part of the Stigler Lectureship in Archaeology.